Recess has expired. The Senate is back in session. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of House bills for third reading on the formal calendar, and I'd ask that you recognize the Senator from Andrew for motion on House Substitute for Substitute House Bill 2005 with the Senate Committee Substitute.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be House bills on third reading, formal calendar. Senator from Andrew is recognized for House Bill 2005.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2005 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2005. This is the budget that deals with the Office of Administration and Fringe Benefits in the state. So again, a couple things. These are just kind of, you know, doing business type of appropriations. That's what a lot of OIA does. We do, as you look through your sheet, you do have $750,000 authority to use the stimulus funds for GR cash flow purposes, and a payback provision. You also have a $750,000 authority to be able to return the unused federal stimulus dollars back to the federal government. And then there's a $500,000 line that provides authority to transfer stimulus funds between the various funds. So if there's funds in SEMA that needs to be in DESE, you're able, that gives us some flexibility to move that back and forth there. And if we have some, you know, funds in DESE, but we need them more in SEMA, emergency management, you know, that's what that line is designed to do, to give us some ability to use the federal stimulus dollars and move those to where they're needed. Other than that, you can look down through the list. We got some dollars in there for the census preparation. You got some dollars in there for various things. You know, some debts, some you know, like Board of Public Bonds. We got some dollars in there. Then also on the benefit side, that's really just some increases to the various retirement funds that we have to try to keep them, you know, certainly make sure that they remain solvent and in good shape. So with that, Mr. President, I'd like to renew my motion or none appearing, I'd take questions. But if no questions appearing, I would renew my motion.
Thank you, Senator. The Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2005. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 1st District.
Require the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
So I think I apprehend most of what we have here. $875 in additional funds for the MU basketball arena debt, I will confess, confounds me slightly.
Yeah, that's, you know, every year we have some adjustments on some of these debts that we have to make adjustments. You'll have to make adjustments on. You'll see that, like for the Fulton State Hospital, because that's a reduction of the last of that bonding, I think, on the Fulton State Hospital. But a few of these things, you'll see these adjustments every now and again. And that's just kind of a typical adjustment that we have to make on servicing some of these debts.
Understood. But not a House Bill 1 debt?
No.
Because it's held by a separate entity?
Yeah, different provisions. I wasn't here when we did that. You might recall the provisions of when we did that. We did that provision. So I think it was just set up in a different fashion. It's been in this budget. You know. I think from its inception.
Yeah.
I assume it was just set up somewhat different. I honestly couldn't tell you the actual makeup of the actual construction of that debt.
Though I
do know. I mean, I remember listening from afar when the state decided to move in that direction.
Well, and I don't want to take up too much of the body's time over an $875 line item. I just found it to be a curiosity that jumped off the page. Thank you, Senator.
Somewhat interesting. Yep.
Further discussion on the adoption motion offered by the Senator from Andrew on the Senate Committee Substitute. Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to renew my motion.
The Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2005 be adopted. All those in opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2005 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2005 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2005, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Office Administration, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Conservation, the Department of Public Safety, and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Luchtemeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from the 15th votes aye. Those bills shall be so referred. Senator from Green County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Andrew for motion on House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2006 with the Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2006 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final.
Constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the tiling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Franklin County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you please refer Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bills 2120 to the Committee on...
Those bills shall be so referred.
Senator from Greene County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Andrew for a motion on House substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2006 with the Senate Committee substitute.
Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2006 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate Committee substitute be adopted, and I have a Senate substitute I'll send forward. I would request a waiver of the reading as it has been distributed.
Please send your substitute forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, would you care to move for the adoption of the substitute and then feel free to explain it?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Senate substitute. What House Bill 6 deals with, it deals with the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Natural Resources, and the Department of Conservation. I can go through a little bit the changes in the substitute, Senate substitute, but just some language changes dealing with one of the items in the Department of Ag that we move forward on. I can go through some of the issues in the Department of Agriculture. We put in a $20 million line for dealing with meat processing facilities. These are the smaller ones, trying to keep the industry flowing, keeping them moving forward, just like that. A few other things in natural resources, federal dollars for low-income housing, low-income weatherization programs, additional funds to the EPA Superfund that's out there. Not a lot. A lot of these we really just kind of went back to last year's funding and many of the new decision items we did not fund. Department of Conservation. So that one, we took the governor's position on. The House had quite a different approach to Department of Conservation. They made a lot of changes in how they would reorganize. That many of you may or may not know, the Conservation reorganized how they put their divisions and such together. They've already done that reorganization. They move forward. The House had the idea that they could make them. They put the funds into the historic fashion that conservation has been, which really convoluted and complicated and convoluted everything. Quite honestly, we didn't know what to do with it, so we went to the governor's position. They also added some language, some restrictions to it. All of that will be comfortable, hopefully, between now and when we meet with the House. We'll be able to work out some of those differences in conservation, but for the most part, we took the governor's position and feel comfortable with that. With that, Mr. President, I'll be happy to take any questions. If not, I would renew my motion to adopt the Senate substitute.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barrie, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the senator from the 17th.
Senator from the 17th, do you yield?
I forgot where it is from, Mr. Senator.
That happens. Do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Barrie?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Forgive me. I did not expect an inquiry on the Department of Agriculture appropriation bill, but I am happy to take your inquiry. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I wasn't sure you were going to respond there for a while. Senator, do you know where this $20 million came from in the ag?
So I believe this is federal authority,
right.
From the
It's not
CARES.
Money that we just automatically get, is it?
No, and this is actually the Senator from Phelps Amendment. I expressed some concern over it and that I really wanted it to go to some of the we all recognize that this is a serious problem, and I think it's a very deserving line item in terms of appropriation. I just wanted to make sure that the language was right, and I think they've made some adjustments even further that I really approve of, and so I'm happy to see that this is in the appropriations bill, because we're going to see serious disruptions in our food chain supply. And
I certainly hope that we don't have to use the $20 million.
Sure. Yep.
And things get back to normal.
Yep.
But it is some security to know that that it will be there if we need it, hopefully. Hopefully it will be appropriated.
Absolutely. I heard a story on the way down about...
I don't want to have to eat soybeans for the rest of my life.
Well, I appreciate the soy farmers, farmers as well, but I understand where you're coming from, and I heard a story on the way down about an employee who worked in a meat processing plant and fell ill because of COVID, and it seems like we need to do everything we can to protect those workers.
And I have a lot of poultry processing plants in my district. We have Tyson's and George's and Simmons, and there hasn't been any outbreaks, but they're still running at full capacity. But they do work in a closed environment, and I'm hoping for the best.
Well, I hope so too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 2006 be adopted. As many of that are opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 2006 be read a third time and finally passed.
You heard the motion of the senator from Andrew. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from Andrew is hearing none. The senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I close.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate substitute for House substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 2006 be read a third time and finally pass. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill number 2006, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Agriculture, Department of Natural Resources, Department of Conservation, and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibler, Luke DeMeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Aye. Senator from 4th. Senator from the 4th votes aye. By your vote of 28 ayes and 3 no, the bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared pass. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, staying on the same calendar, I'd ask that you once again recognize Senator from Andrew for a motion to House substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2007 with City Committee substitute.
Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2007 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Andrew moves that House substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2007 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Does the senator care to move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute and explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly do that. I do move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. This is the bill that deals with the Department of Labor, Industrial Relations, the Department of Economic Development, and the Department of Commerce and Industry. Not a lot of this is just kind of routine. We did put $30 million in federal stimulus funds for small business grants. That would be, if these funds would be available after dealing with some of these issues, then these funds would be, kind of designed to help small businesses in the state of Missouri. Also, $20 million, again, of stimulus money for community development block grants. A lot of these are used to help, a lot of communities around the state. That's the Department of Economic Development. Again, stimulus dollars in labor industrial relations to deal with some of their things. We did put an investigator in the Department of Labor and Industrial Relations. And then in insurance or commerce and insurance, just really took care of their needs. Not a lot of requests there. So, and not a lot of changes. Be happy to take any questions, Mr. President. If no questions appearing, I would renew my motion.
The Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 2007. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Shelby, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you. I just had a quick question for the Senator from Andrew on the federal money that you have available for, like, block grants and stop.
Senator from Shelby, do you wish to inquire of the Senator from Andrew?
I do.
Senator Andrew, do you yield to a conversation with
the
Senator
from Shelby? I most certainly do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Sorry about that.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So the money that's federal money that is supposed to be for block grants to, I saw some for farms and different entities from DED.
Yeah, that's a tool that I think the governor's used. I think the state can use it some, and the governor's used it some already to address the immediate needs. This was even before some of the CARES Act money came down. He was able to utilize some of these block grant funds to address immediate needs. But, typically the block grant program is designed and helps many of our communities around the state. I'm sure that your communities have utilized that program. I know that my communities have utilized that program in the past.
And so these amounts of money we're pretty sure we will receive, right? Or it's like everything else where...
Just getting some assistance and clarity on this. So, we do, plan on receiving, and we feel comfortable that we will get the $20 million on the CDBG money. So that we feel pretty comfortable with that. Now, the $30 million stimulus, that is basically excess authority. If we are unable to use some of the CARES Act money in other areas, you know, to address immediate concerns, and before we send it back to the federal government, there was a desire to kind of reallocate those funds to try to address the needs of folks in the state of Missouri. So that's really kind of where the additional $30 million is in there. That would be excess authority, you know, that we would want to use that like a state-level PPP type of program to help some of our smallest businesses.
They would probably this. Already.
As you know, many of your and my small business are struggling to it.
So they would have the guidelines for it probably already written.
Well, we'd have to put those together. I mean, so this would be a new program that in the Department of Economic Development. They, you know, I think that they would, you know, probably have some of the guidelines from the federal government that they could utilize. That's the idea, is that it would be there, like I say, before we send it back to the federal government. If we can use those funds in the state of Missouri, let's try to do that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President.
So that one's not as secure.
Okay, thank you.
Senator from Platt, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Andrew.
Senator Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry from Senator
Thank you,
from
Mr.
Platt?
President, I do.
He does proceed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon, Senator. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. So the Department of Labor is one of the departments that's covered in Senate Bill 2000, or House Bill 2007.
That is correct.
Okay. So I think you would probably agree that in light of the recent pandemic, that the Department of Labor, in terms of workflow, has probably been one of the most significantly impacted departments in the
yeah,
state.
Yeah. You know, earlier this year, they came in with a reduction to their unemployment compensation group in a number of FTE that they wanted because of the situation. That certainly has reversed itself. You know, they were going to cut that staff by half. Well, now they need that staff and probably more, and that's where some of the, you know, that's where certainly where some of the stimulus dollars could come in and help, you know, help with that staffing up of you know, unemployment insurance and stuff like that.
So is there a reduction of FTEs in the Department of Labor in...
Can you speak closer to your
mic there? Is there a reduction of FTEs in the Department of Labor's budget for this year?
Well, no, Senator, we added one. So they were able to... So, and you'll see that at the top of the page here. You'll, in 2020, we had 812, and then we're advocating the 801 point... Excuse me. They got 800.12 FTE. I don't know who's the 0.12 FTE. And then this year we've increased that by one, and that would be the prevailing wage investigator.
And I mean, the reason I bring that up is I know there's been a lot of conversation about reducing FTEs in the budget. I know the senator from Johnson has spent a fair amount of time
looking through the budget to find
areas for savings, which, again, I am very supportive of. I think in, you know, this time of economic distress where we have a lot of people around the state who are losing their jobs, I think as being fiscally responsible stewards of state tax dollars, we need to be tightening our belt at the state level, just like Missouri families are going to be doing. You know, one of the reasons I asked as to whether or not that particular department had a reduction in FTEs is that would be a department that I would have concerns in reducing FTEs. And I'll tell you the reason why, and I suspect that this is true for you as probably as well as every other member of this body. The overwhelming majority of constituent inquiries that I received over the last month and a half has been related to people not being able to get their unemployment benefits.
Yeah, I know. We did a good investment in a new communication system over there, an online system that we just had got up and running. And even with that, I think people had, you know, and I think that handled the bulk of it. Although at one point, I know that system went down because of the crush of the load of people trying to get on there and file for unemployment benefits. We would have been in a much dire situation had we not made that investment in the last few years to upgrade that system. So even with that upgraded system, we still had trouble dealing with the volume that came in. Much of the concerns that you had were people when people wanted to dial in and talk to an individual to try to work out some peculiarities of their unemployment situation or make the comments. The director was trying to cross-train, you know, some employees from other parts of labor to try to address that situation. So,
well, and again, I mean, on the technology front, what I would say is that I received a lot of complaints from constituents who were on the phone for 5 hours.
Really?
Never ultimately got through to somebody.
Yeah.
But I would say that I had nearly an equal number of constituents who, when they were redirected to the department's website, were having issues with the system crashing or them getting error messages. So we just had desperate people who were flooding into our office. Again, this is what we're here for, and we were happy to help them in my office. But they were having problems with understaffing. They were having problems with technology issues, not being able to get through on the website. And I guess what I'm trying to ask more broadly is, if this thing were to come back and surge back sometime in November, which a lot of health experts have said is possible, and we find ourselves in a cyclical situation where we have unemployment claims go way up, like we did recently, and then they go back down, and then they trend back upwards again, is there anything in the budget that accounts for that happening? Because I will tell you, in terms of lessons learned on this pandemic, one of the lessons learned should be that we need to make sure that we are nimble enough with the Department of Labor to have the resources, both technological and in terms of human capital, the number of people that they need to deal with that, because this time around that did not happen. And I'm not saying that as somebody who's sitting here on the floor trying to preach at a department, because the reality is that nobody could have envisioned this happening.
Right.
Because prior to this, we had record low unemployment. We had a record high economy. The department, rightfully so, was not staffed for this at the time this hit.
Right.
But now we know what happens when these unemployment claims spike. And I want to know what we're doing in the budget to make sure that that issue does not repeat itself if we find ourselves in this situation back
in
November.
And I feel very comfortable that they have the proper number of FTE in there that they can staff up to that level. Now, mind you, in the crush of this, it does take some time to train those folks to get them up to speed. I would hope that they would have the ability to fill some of those vacant FTE positions. This is one of the areas that we looked at the FTEs, and I said, you know, with this situation, for the exact reason that you mentioned, this is not a place to, and this is not the time to cut the FTEs in this department, because, you know, we truly think that they're going to be needed and that we need to ramp up and prepare for this. This is a different situation than what it was in January. And so we did not cut any FTEs. Matter of fact, added one,
but it sounds like that one is not going to be related to unemployment. It's related to something unrelated.
It addresses a different issue.
Right. Yeah. It relates to prevailing wage. So in terms of that answers my first question. No reduction in FTEs for this particular department.
Right.
Second question is, have we done anything to address some of the IT issues that we know came up? Maybe those are things that the department has fixed internally, and that is not necessarily something that needs to be reflected in the budget, but there were a lot of issues that constituents were having with the website crashing. I'm trying to figure out, did we do anything in the budget to address that, or was that not necessary for some reason?
Back in OA, you would have seen some ongoing kind of broad general IT allocations to the different departments. You know, that we didn't touch many of those allocations, and so that would be ongoing. That IT support would be ongoing. Much of that is actually located in office administration. They try to centralize that information technology resources there and utilize them all across the state departments.
So,
and that continued on.
Okay. On the technology front, one recommendation, I was flipping to the front page just to make sure this was a Senate committee substitute, which it is.
Uh-huh.
So you will be going to conference on this?
We will.
Okay. One suggestion
There's not a lot of conferenceable items. We don't go to conference. We only go to conference on the things that we differ from the House on. We accepted many of the House positions on this.
Do you know if all the House positions were accepted on the technology front?
I think to a large extent they were, yes.
I mean, here's the reason I ask. I hesitate to offer an amendment on this, but, you know, one thing that I think that the department should do is they should upgrade their telephony systems, their phone systems.
Their phone systems?
I mean, I think the Department of Labor needs to be looking at themselves, particularly in light of this recent pandemic, as being a customer service department. And I don't know that it's traditionally looked at it that way. So I'll give you an example, a very simple example. And again, I'm not in marketing or telesales, but a lot of companies right now, if you have very long wait times, you can push a button and they're supposed to call you back as opposed to sitting on the phone. Some very minor simplistic change like that to their telephone systems that they may have the technological capability of doing right now, they may not, they may need some phone system upgrades, which I would guess are not that expensive. I think that would go a long way if we find ourselves back here in November in the same situation from a customer service perspective to give that to people.
Sure.
Because I think if somebody has the ability to press number two and have somebody from the Department of Labor call them back when they're free, we should be looking for those types of solutions rather than saying we're going to let history repeat itself and people be on the phone for 5 hours.
Yeah. I think it's a great suggestion. I would guess that the Office of Administration IT might have that ability, that flexibility to look at something, because that does seem like a minor change. Although I have to caution myself in this. You know, sometimes I think things that I think should be a minor, easy fix tend to be much more complicated and much more costly than what I would envision.
And I'm not going to dispute that. I think there might have to be some system upgrades to do that, but I really think that we need to give some serious consideration to that.
We have been trying to, I mean, I will tell you, the Budget Committee in the past, you know, the years that I've been on it, and excuse me, Appropriations Committee on our side, we have been making some of those IT investments. This is stuff that had been ignored by other governors to a great extent in the past. They've just ignored. Matter of fact, when we started to work on the Department of Revenue, they were still using a COBOL-based system. And the problem was there is they couldn't find anybody that knew how to program COBOL anymore. They were either retiring or they were dying off. And so then we were stuck with it, you know, having to upgrade a system, you know, that's old, you know, in a fairly urgent fashion. And so we began that with the Department of Labor, too, and I appreciate your position, Senator. You know, I think you're correct, and I think it is a good investment for the state to become more customer-friendly and upgrade some of these systems. I'm all in favor of what you're advocating.
And again, I appreciate the work that the committee has done on this budget. This is the first, you know, provision that I stood up on to, you know, voice any concerns on. And I do, as we work over the next, you know, week, I just think we need to be thinking in all the things that we're doing, whether it's substantive legislation, whether it's budget related, what are some of the lessons learned from this last pandemic to make sure that history does not repeat itself again if we find ourselves here years down the road or if we find ourselves back here in November.
And if,
I want to make sure that we are in a spot to address IT situations, telephone situations, staffing situations, the Department of Labor. I think that is a critical thing, and I just want that to be on the committee's mind whenever it goes to conference on any of these budget items, whether it be in this bill or in the OA bill.
Yeah, and I would encourage you to share that concerns with the Department of Labor and Industrial Relations.
I have several times.
Yeah. At this point, you know, not knowing what they need and what it would cost and everything, I would say that much of that, if we can act on it quicker than next year's budget, supplemental appropriation would be a place that we could act on that much more quickly. I'd like to have some feel for where we're going before we just, you know, moved in that direction. We've got a lot of latitude in there now. We've got a lot of dollars. They may be able to use the dollars we have right now to address the very concerns that you have.
And I would rather investigate
that first and foremost.
Yeah. And again, that's the reason I'm not offering an amendment right now.
I appreciate that.
I don't want to inject, you know, some half-baked idea where we say $250,000 for telephony upgrades for the department, and that's too much or too little. But you're in a position where you can have those conversations. They're going to listen to you as the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and they're going to listen to other members of the committee. I don't serve on that committee, but this is something that I would encourage all of the committee members to really be asking those questions to the department, because if we find ourselves in this spot 6 months from now, I want to make sure that we're doing very simple planning right now that could be $250,000 worth of system upgrades to alleviate a lot of pain for a lot of people that I know folks in every one of our districts in this chamber experience, because government maybe wasn't as efficient as it could be and not as with the times as it could be. And in this department in particular, I'm concerned about that.
Not going to argue the point, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Hearing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2007 be adopted. As many are of that opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, Mr. President, I move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee, or House Substitute for House Committee Substitute be read a third time and finally passed.
You heard the motion of the senator from Andrew. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2007 be read for a third time and finally pass. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2007, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Economic Development, Department of Commerce and Insurance, Department of Labor and Industrial Relations, and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burleson, Searpoy,
aye.
Crawford,
aye.
Cunningham,
aye.
Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins,
aye.
Huff,
aye.
Koenig, Libela, Luke DeMeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from Boone. Senator from Andrew. You're recorded as an aye. Senator from the 23rd. How do you vote? No, thank you, Senator. By your vote of 29 ayes and 2 noes, the bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I ask that you recognize the Senator from Andrew for a motion on House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008 with the Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill Number 2008 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The The senator from Andrew moves that Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Does Senator care to move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute and explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do. I move for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008. And, Mr. President, I have a clarifying amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
Send that forward. While that's going forward, it has been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading. And I will describe what 2008 is in general and what the amendment does.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Please explain your amendment.
Thank you. Thank you. So House Bill 2008 is Department of Public Safety. A few things that we have in there, got $2.5 million in for Veterans Community Project and one-time funding that's usually using some of these marijuana proceeds from the medical marijuana, which is supposed to be dedicated to that. That's a program I think that the Kansas City folks are very supportive of. It would take these Veteran Community Project and expand that across the state to the St. Louis area as well. One other thing, we transferred the Capitol Police from the Capitol Commission back to Public Safety, keep them under the Director of Public Safety instead of a commission of legislators that would control the Capitol Police. This is the governor's position, and this is where we would continue to like to have the Capitol Police under that, kind of where they're at right now. And with that, that's the big things about the 2008 budget. The amendment that we have forward, it's clarifying a couple of things that we intended to get in there that we didn't, that we missed. Again, this was a hurried process, and I ask for your indulgence. One was an area that we were wanting to do some capital replacement vehicles cost. And we meant to have that in there, and this would put that in there. I believe it was a House position, and it keeps us there. And then on the state emergency managed federal funds, that's $100,000 authority to be able to use to call out. That would be Task Force One to be able to move them around the state or wherever else they may need to go. Two things that we intended to have we had some errors. With that, I would move for the adoption of the amendment, Mr. President.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the second, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to conversation with your senator from the second?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Thank proceed.
You, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the inquiry, yeah. Senator.
Thank you.
This isn't about your amendment, but on the underlying bill.
Underlying bill. Okay.
So, and of course, this is, so the federal line, and I'm just looking at the operating budget changes summary sheet, spreadsheet. Federal funding increasing by $1.5 billion. I'm sure that's pursuant to the CARES Act. What is that? What is that for?
Yeah, largely that would be the dollars that run through SEMA. So if you remember during the Stimulus Act, much of the money that we got down to deal with CARES ran through the State Emergency Management Administration Authority, whatever A stands
agency,
for.
Agency, whatever, yeah. Whatever the A stands for. Yeah.
Agency. I think it's agency.
There you go.
And so that's where much of the money was flowing through them and out to the wherever it's needed to go. And that would be that's where much of that additional federal dollars would be. You are correct. It's CARES Act money coming and flowing through that.
And the other category doesn't change very much. But what does that other category consist of?
You know, that's a makeup of a lot of different things. It's not any one particular
some fees or
yeah. So I mean, because you know, the highway patrols in this,
right?
What patrol is in here? Yeah, so that would be the state road fund, probably some dollars for the highway patrol in there.
Got it. Okay.
And by the way, on this amendment, the vehicle replacement money we have in there is all other funds. It's not GR. It's all other funds.
All right. But most of that 1.5 billion, that is CMA money. Okay.
Largely. I mean, and mind you, we always get a lot of federal dollars, too, for some of this stuff. There would be National Guards in here as well, so there would be, you know, some dollars for the National Guard in here, too.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Yeah.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close on amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that I close on the amendment.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate amendment number one be adopted. As many are of the opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the underlying Senate committee sub. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To briefly inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 24th?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. I know it's you're doing a great job keeping us informed, so thank you. I have a question on the last page, or the page 25 of the bill.
Bill?
Second to last page, I suppose. Under part two.
Page 25.
You know what? I may be looking at a different...
Wrong. Okay. No, I was looking...
Printout than you. No, I don't think so.
Well, let me look. No, I grabbed the wrong bill. I'm sorry. 25. So we are looking at...
Part 2 down at the bottom.
Part 2.
Yeah, I've seen this on different budget bills coming through. And is this new language for this year, or have I missed it in the past? This is to make sure that we track flights.
Yeah, I don't think it's new language. I think it's been in the budget bills for some time. You know, there was some folks that really wanted to know track into the use of, state aircraft. This has been around for some time. I think this is, like I say, I think this language has been in there for some time.
All right. Because you know what? I'd never noticed it before because I'm so focused on the dollars going through. And
I could try to get a number of years that it's been in there if you want me to.
It's not necessary, but I guess my question is, we don't feel like this is a... we don't feel like this is any kind of a safety hazard.
I don't think so, Senator. I will tell you, if I wasn't here, I think, at the time, but I think that this went in when Governor Nixon was in office and folks wanted to kind of know the use of the state plane. I would assume with Governor Parsons in office, or Governor Greitens in between Senator Governor Nixon and such, you might want to see the same being applied to them as well, just to know that, so that we could track the use of the plane. I'm trying to get... I don't know that for sure that it went in under Nixon, but it's been in there for some time.
Yeah, I remember there were questions about flying around the state, and I'm surprised to see it because I didn't recall it being put in here, but also... as it applies to commercial aircraft, but I think that's in a limited scope. Anyway, just wanted to ask, because as we go through the bill, like, we usually just get through those dollar parts that are really important to our districts, and I've started looking today through these pieces.
It was nothing that came up in committee this year to be discussed. So.
All right, so nobody seemed to have a question or problem about it.
There wasn't any changes to it that I recall.
Right. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I close on the adoption of this Senate committee substitute.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute as amended for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008 be adopted. As many as are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2008 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Andrew. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion and close.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute as amended for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2008 be read a third time and finally pass. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2008, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Public Safety and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibler, Lucht-Meyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from the 4th votes aye. By your vote of 29 ayes and 2 noes, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I'd ask to recognize the Senator from Andrew for motion on House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2009 with the Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2009 with the Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Andrew moves that House Bill 2009 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Does the senator care to move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute and explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2009. This is the Department of Corrections. I say I moved for the adoption of this. Not a lot in here. We did do had some money in there for aid to counties. This would be the kind of the in arrearage is what they call it for the for the aid of the counties on law enforcement. That we did fully fund the per diem to the counties, so hopefully we won't be digging a bigger hole in that regards. And we put a little bit towards trying to address the arrearage in moving forward. We did that with $3 million GR and $3 million canteen fund, I think, another source to do that. Other than that, you know, just a few really kind of housekeeping measures about that. Be happy to take any questions. None appearing, I would renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute.
The senator from Andrew has moved for the Senate Committee substitute for House substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2009. Move for the adoption. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Shelby, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire of the senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Shelby?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Well, good afternoon again to you. Maybe getting closer to evening, Clinton.
Thank you, Senator. I wanted to know what was the amount that was going to be paid to the counties to sort of make up for.
Yeah, the governor in his original budget wanted to put $20 million. Of GR into that category to try to pay get back the counties on it. I think that some folks would say that the amount, there's a lot of discussion on this, Senator, whether it's truly owed to the counties or not. I think some of the folks, the counties, think that that amount may be more around, $33, $34 million. The governor tried to put $20 million in it. With this COVID-19 stuff, it really impacted us greatly, and so we decided to go ahead with the $6 million to try to get that, knock that arrearage down, and that was a mix of a couple different funds. Like I say, general revenue, I believe, is a canteen fund is the other source that we were going to do on that, and fully fund the, so that we can, continue to keep up with the amount needed to pay the ongoing. So that we're not getting into more in arrears is the effort there.
So, what they're billing you? So you, I guess you have like a cutoff period from the old.
There's a set amount that the state reimburses counties for keeping individuals incarcerated under state law in the county jails before they come to the state.
Right.
The state prison system or correction system. And that's kind of a set formula. They ask for the reimbursement. They send it to the state. State looks it over, makes sure that your costs that they truly believe are truly reimbursable. Sometimes counties ask for things that aren't, that the state doesn't consider reimbursable. And that's kind of how they move forward. And so it's kind of a rolling aspect right now, which is hard to tell. I mean, if I was in my old position of county clerk in Andrew County, who does the budget for the counties, it's hard to know the way we've got it set up right now and how we pay these arrearages off or continue to roll. It's kind of hard to know how much money you're going to get in any given year, because they get these tranches of dollars on a quarterly basis, they being the Department of Corrections, get them on a quarterly basis, and then they pay the bills until, the money's gone, and then they have to wait till the next quarter, and then they pay they make the payments until the money's gone, and they wait till the next quarter. And that's where we get this kind of, I guess you could call it a wait list, as we pay those and then don't get caught up on it. And so that's what this $6 million was also trying to do, is try to get caught up a little bit. It's not as much as the governor asked, but times are different than they were in January.
So do we, I hear about this everywhere I go.
Yep, I do too.
Yes, and my way of thinking, the system is not right.
I would like to see us change it. The county's been resistant to doing that.
So
I would rather us go to a grant type of system where the county commissioners, the sheriffs, and the county clerks, who are the budget officers in third class counties, much what you and I deal with, would know what they're going to get in any given year.
Are we
that could be a grant on a given formula, take into account their number of prisoners and days and stuff like that. But I would think that that would be a most sure way of running this program.
So are we?
I am not a big fan of the way this program set up the way it is right now.
Are we doing that? Are we putting into effect a new system?
We have been discussions in trying to get the counties to move in a direction that would be, more in that fashion, to a more of a grant system. Those discussions are ongoing. They're ongoing. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah, we will continue to discuss it. I would like to see some more surety to the process.
Well, I think my personal opinion is that it's a poor way to do business to have a system set up that, and I know you're kind of agreeing with me, that people think they're going to get something and then it sort of hangs on and hangs on and hangs on.
I do very much agree with you.
And so then you have counties who may have as much as 100,000 or 200,000 or, you know, open, and they don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I would appreciate your help in the future to try to address this situation and move forward with it. And I would welcome you into that conversation, quite honestly.
Perfect.
I think it's not something that we can address immediately right away. You know, it is an ongoing discussion that we've had with the county entities.
So I think
we were hoping to knock that down to where we could get to a place where we could all feel comfortable in making those changes.
So do you know what the amount is? Is it the same for everyone, or?
It is the same.
Okay.
I'm,
and do you know what that is per day?
No, it's a little over $20 per individual per day.
All right. Well, I would be glad to work with you because, you know, we hear about it all the time.
Well,
and it's just something we ought to get resolved.
Like I say, it's not doing our service to do great counties when they just really have no idea what they're going to get.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from 24th. Fourth, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to a conversation of your senator from the 24th?
Well, I do yield to an inquiry.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Just a couple of quick questions. One is, in this environment with the pandemic, people who are incarcerated are a group of people who are, because there is really not social distancing per se, they're all living in the same environment. If someone gets sick, they and the people who work there are particularly at risk. Is there money now in the Department of Corrections budget to be able to, I don't even know what we would do, for testing, for isolation, for personal protective equipment, any of those pieces?
Thank you for your indulgence, Senator. Allow me to get some clarity on it. Yeah, and to confirm what I thought, there is no money directly in corrections for that. There is a stipend increase, but that's for the employees to keep them coming, you know, to stay on the job, to keep the work.
And, so we're going to pay them a little
more. Like to do the overtime, should a case of COVID-19 break out in the facility. But that's for the employees. It's not for the addressing of the workers. I would assume that they would have access to some of the SEMA dollars. And again, you know, that's kind of been our venue to deal with these, like the PPEs, you know, and the necessary personal protective equipment around the state.
I mean, I know we want that.
And I would assume that's the avenue. We've not seen anything in the corrections budget that deals directly with that.
So there's nothing in here that. All right, and to my
other than that stipend piece is the only piece that's in there to deal with the presence
of work. So because they're on a different kind of front line than our medical staff, but they may be exposed, and they're in a potentially
and again,
dangerous situation.
That'd probably be a better question for the department.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Another question for you.
I may have some additional information if you want to wait a second.
Oh, sure. Of course.
So got some additional clarity there, Senator. So they do get some PPEs through the CARES Act funding. That's kind of like along with the stipend. But again, that's for the workers, not the incarcerated individuals.
Okay. Well, the workers are the ones coming in and out.
And other than that, you've probably exhausted my knowledge on the department's efforts of doing that.
We don't have anything showing up in the budget directly related.
Yeah, no governor's amendments, nothing from the House, and then we didn't have any requests to do anything.
Right,
here.
Okay, so, got it.
Other than this, what I've already described.
Right, okay. And then, thank you, I appreciate that. Another question I have, I just don't know relative to last year. So this is section 9.015, very beginning of the bill. The $1.8 million and $1 for the reentry program. Is this an increase, decrease, stay the same as last year? Where are we? Because as people exit and need to get back into the job force with big unemployment numbers that we're seeing now and many businesses still not opening, we need to make sure that people have a pathway to being a successful member of the community. So
I don't think we cut the budget there. I think we took the House position, and I don't believe they cut it either. I think,
so
that's
think that's
but didn't enhance it either. It's just status quo.
Right. Okay. But at least
no change.
Looks like it's the same as last year. And then my final question is, I just want to make sure. I don't think I remember when this happened. I remember when the problem happened. But this is in section 9.085, the Volkswagen Environmental Mitigation Trust Proceeds Fund. This was a result of the lawsuit because of the misinformation about emissions that was coming out of the manufacturers of Volkswagen, right? So was this million, I can't remember what the total amount that the state recovers as a result of this.
From the Volkswagen settlement?
Yes.
Well, that is an interesting question as well. We did not bring that up in the budget discussions, but we may have an answer for you soon. But this would be for the purchase of vehicles. This was a House position, the governor's position. We didn't change.
Right, and the vehicles we're talking about are transport vehicles for.
And I think probably aimed at more energy efficient type of vehicles too. I think that was a big part of the effort that administration did with the Volkswagen's funds because it came out of a vehicle emissions difficulty that Volkswagen had. I think that my understanding is that the administration tried to look at energy efficiency
So this means we will buy, let me just make sure I'm clear, $1 million worth of vehicles this coming year.
And again, that wasn't a change from the governor's recommendations nor the House.
Right, I understand. That's specifically it's for the vehicles, not for what it takes to run the vehicles. It's for vehicle purchases.
We'll get some clarity, but
to my
understanding, it is just for vehicles. But I think that we are quickly looking for that more detailed answer that you might be requesting.
Thank you.
So you and I could just visit for a little while.
How are you feeling? This has been, a stressful time.
As we decided to go ahead and get the budget done by our constitutional deadline, it has been kind of a hurry up and run process. And so many of us and most, accordingly, our staff has really been, as well as the House staff, has really been running hard with assistance from the governor's office and certainly appreciate you there. Like I said, there was an unprecedented number of governor's amendments that came in that tried to give us some guidance as they have been really busy with this COVID-19 issues as well.
And so, I'm sure. It's overtaken everyone. And I have to say, it's very impressive, the staff especially, who knows everything that's going on. But you and your staff in your office, too, seem to
Well, they're all of our staff.
Yes. Good, great
handle
on all of
this. Except my chief of staff.
No, I appreciate you letting us.
He does work for me.
Yeah. Yes. So letting us stand up and ask these questions so that all of us are aware of what we're putting, you know, checking the box on or not as we go forward. So I think you probably have some answers.
I think the clarity is coming. It is for purchase of vehicles, transportation vehicles, usually buses to transport the incarcerated back and forth.
All right. And the $1 million is a what portion of the total Volkswagen?
It was out of a $41 million settlement.
All right. And is there, I can just watch heads shaking, is there a limited time with which we can use that settlement, or do we spread it out over time? I mean, over as much time as we want. I guess you can't. When I give you an either or, you can't just shake your head. Because sorry.
That I don't know, sir.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I just personally like the answer back on that because I want to make sure.
Could we ask the department to get with you and provide some additional guidance
on that? I don't need to hold this up to do that.
So we can keep the process moving.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for the inquiry.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I close on the adoption of the substitute, Senate Committee substitute.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 2009 be adopted. As many as are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee substitute for House, Bill 2009 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Andrew. Does any senator desire to be heard? The senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Thank you, Senator. The senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 2009 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2009, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Corrections and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from Phelps votes aye. By your vote of 28 aye, 3 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on the same calendar, I'd ask that you recognize the Senator from Andrew for motion on House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010 with the Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2010 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Andrew moves that Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many as are of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Does the Senator care to move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute and explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I do move for the Senate Committee Substitute adoption. And this is the bill that deals with the Department of Mental Health and then also the Department of Health and Senior Services. So a lot of things in here. You could look at your list. You'll see a lot of different things. You know, we've got some efforts to deal with the utilization increase in MoHealthNet. That is an increase. That's one of the few NDI items that, you know, kind of that we included in it. We had some money in there for development disability wait list to try to get at that. Added some development disability waivers, federal dollars. Think the senator from St. Charles wanted that particular provision, and we were happy to go along with that. There is some money in there, about $20 million for COVID-19 crisis counseling. Some pandemic stipend for the state institutions, again, to get the folks that deal with some of our most vulnerable population to continue to come to work and take care of those folks in need. You can see, look down through the list, there are a lot of different things. Moving over to the Department of Health and Senior Services, we've got money in for rural grant, hospital grant pilot program. Now, mind you, this is kind of like the money we had in the Department of Economic Development that would allow for like a PPP, a state PPP for small businesses. Again, this would be money that if it's available and not used for some of the immediate needs of COVID-19, could be then used to help rural hospitals deal with that before we would send it back to the federal government, and that's the intention. That was a House addition, and the Senate's going along with that. There's $33 million in there for AAA meals services. That would be the congregate meals. I think there's also some money in here for the Meals on Wheels program, although it doesn't show up. I can't identify it right offhand. It's in there as well. It's a number of other things in there as well. Be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any questions. Otherwise, we would renew a motion. And, Mr. President, I have an amendment. Again, it is one of these clarifying amendments intended to just clean up things. What this one does, it replaces general revenue. It's replacing a general revenue reduction from an earlier cycle with Missouri Public Health Services Fund. This section is Department of Health and Senior
Senator
Services
from,
Community and the Public
Senator
Health
from
Departments.
Andrews, you moved for the adoption.
I did move for the adoption.
I need to repeat that first before.
Well, if you'd do that, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. The Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010. Does any senator desire to be heard?
Okay. Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew.
Now that I've described what that Senate Committee Substitute does, I do have an amendment for that Senate Committee Substitute. Please it has your, been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Please send your amendment forward.
I have done that.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Okay. And again, so this amendment replaces general revenue, replacing a general revenue reduction from an earlier cycle with Missouri. With Missouri Health Services Fund, this section is in the Department of Health and Senior Services, Community and Public Health Department. Okay, that's what we have there. With that, Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the amendment and be happy to take any questions.
The Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of the Senate Amendment 1. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the Senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry for the Senator from Barton?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, good afternoon, Senator. This is one of these technical amendments that our crack staff handed to me and something that we need to clarify and get done.
Is
You've got
O2S?
About as much knowledge on it, what my description as I do, but I'd be happy to get some additional clarity.
Well, I want to make sure I'm looking at the right thing. It didn't sound right. Is this O2S?
O2S, yes.
Okay. And could you say again what it does?
Replacing a general revenue reduction from an earlier cycle with Missouri Public Health Services Fund. So basically it's a fund switch.
Okay, that's all it is. All right. Thank you very much, Senator. I was looking at it, and somehow it didn't ring with what you were saying. Thank you, Mr. President.
I probably stammered and stuttered too much. I apologize for that, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barry, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry of the Senator from Barry?
I certainly do.
He certainly does. Proceed.
This really has nothing to do with your amendment because I know.
Okay.
Every day it seems like we have a different thing going on as far as with financials. But I do want to, you know, I think the only thing I really made sure that we got in here for the Department of Mental Health was because of the coronavirus and the mental health state of a lot of our citizens. You're going to have more suicides. You're going to have more people with depression and anxiety. But I've noticed that it looks like, and also the developmental disabilities wait list. I'm on the Barry County Board for the Disabled. I'm chairman of that board. And we have a wait list there on that board. And there are probably our most fragile citizens that we need to take care of.
I agree. And Senator, I really appreciate your help and guidance on helping craft much of this effort here.
Yeah, so we have approached the wait list, put some GR into it.
Yep.
Appreciate that. And then we have the COVID-19 crisis counseling grant. That's good. And medication-assisted treatment and suicide prevention. So you've addressed some of my concerns.
Yep.
And I appreciate that.
Well, Senator, we valued your guidance, your wisdom in these areas. You seem to have a lot of expertise that we have truly appreciated, and thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, I kind of keep my ear to what's going on.
You do.
And, you know, I find out these we have every it seems like every month or two we have a little crisis that comes up in our healthcare system. Whatever it might be. But anyway, I'm glad to help out. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 4th, for what purpose do you rise?
Could I inquire the budget chair?
Would you like to inquire the senator from Andrew?
Andrew, yes.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to conversation with the senator from the 4th?
I would certainly yield to inquiry, Senator.
He does,
Mr. President.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. I would call it evening. I agree with you on that.
That's good. I am having so much trouble with these masks today.
Yeah.
You know, I have my favorite one. I think I left it in the car. I'm going to have to go find it.
Yeah.
I had a question on page 24 of 2010.
Okay. Give me a second. I'll get there. And here. Which particular section are you looking at?
It was line number 35.
Line number
Is this a reoccurring, or was this last year, or is this new? And what county is this in?
Well, a great question. I think we'll get some guidance on that pretty quick here. Senator, my understanding of that is a definition for the St. Louis area. It has been. So I guess that would be, it's been an ongoing expense.
So the St. Louis County?
It looks to me like it's probably St. Louis County, yes.
With a charter form of government?
That'd be the normal description for St. Louis County?
No.
Because I think the city always, the description for the St. Louis city is city within, not within a county.
Yes, ours is a city not within a county, exactly. So I'm trying to figure out, where is this funding going?
And again, I'm told it's St. Louis County. So this is ongoing funding. We haven't, the House approved it, the governor approved it, we approved it as well. It didn't come up in our discussion.
It's a developmental disability pilot program for St. Louis County?
This particular pilot was aimed at the county, in a county with a charter form of government. Yeah. With more than 300,000, but fewer than 450,000.
Yeah, I need to know exactly. So okay. Where do I get more information about this from?
So, Senator, it is two counties. It includes St. Louis County and Jackson County, is what I, as our crack staff informed me. That is the definition for those two charter form of government counties.
It's St. Louis County and Jackson County.
Yep.
And do we know when this was put in the budget?
I do not. I think it's been ongoing. Let's look. Maybe we can find it real quick.
I want to know how long that's been in the budget.
Let us do a little research here. We do have, I can tell you if it's, if I look at my markup sheets, I can tell you if it's been in there since 2019 or not. But give me a second. Other than that, I don't have the history at my fingertips. But we certainly could look at that real quick. Just give me a second. So we are in. And I think our crack staff is also looking. So we'll see who can come up with it first. 410. Okay, I think the answer I've gotten is that it was put in fiscal year 2019.
2019.
So it's been there for a few years.
And the department was okay with that?
Evidently they were. They didn't ask for us to take it out.
That's very interesting. Thank you for the inquiry.
You're welcome, Senator.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. We are on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator from Andrew, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the, I renew my motion and close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 for Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. We are back on the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute as amended. Senator from the 13th District.
May I inquire of the Senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
I certainly do, Mr. President.
He certainly does. Please proceed.
Mr. President, I guess this is the last time, Senator, I think this is the last time I will inquire of you about Bell Fountain Hab Center, the Bell Fountain Habilitation Center up in my district. Did everything stay the same with that in the budget this year? It did. Good.
Yep.
And I think that that pilot program is a program that is utilized to teach families how to access services when they have loved ones with developmental disabilities.
So being over your way, I would assume you would have greater knowledge about that particular program. So,
well, I just inquired, and I found out, too, and I figured you were juggling a lot of balls, so I thought I would help you out a little bit.
We've got a lot of folks that help with this lift, and I appreciate your help.
Well, and I appreciate all you've done over the years in this budget, and I appreciate how you've looked after the interests of everybody on this floor, even if they didn't serve on your committee. So thank you.
Senator, we do the best we can, and I certainly understand that not all of us can be on the Appropriations Committee. It's why we need to take everybody into account.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the adoption motion for the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the Senator from the 17th.
Senator from Clay, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
I remembered I was from the 17th District that time.
I know. I was so impressed with how quickly you stood up. I was still reading.
I'm used to hearing Clay, so forgive
me. Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay. So I wanted to go over and talk to you and see if you could find what I was looking for. And there are a few sections that I am concerned about and wanted to talk to you about them. And then I was going to inquire again of the Senator from Andrew to make sure I know what we're voting on here, too. Seems like every year there's some language in this bill and some lacking of budgetary items that forces me to vote against it. This year, I think that there are some holes that are filled, and I'm really delighted about some of the emphasis on mental health, including suicide prevention. Those are really important things, and they're important things to everybody who lives in this state.
Sorry for the interruption, Senator. If we could keep our conversations to a minimum or take them to the side galleries, especially in today's mask environment, it's hard for the senators and the ladies at the front desk to hear each other. Senators, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, you know, I've seen some good things put in here, but I also know that there is a group of people in our community who may not have ready access to health care. And one of the things that we've seen is that now is an important time to make sure that everybody has access to quality health care that they can afford. We don't want anybody walking around that is sick and that needs to be tested, not being tested, which has been a big problem in this state. And we don't want to see anybody who is sick not going in for treatment because they're afraid of the bill that they'll receive on the other side. And so, you know, once again, we're going through a year, at least right now, where the legislature has done nothing about extending health care access through the Medicaid program. And I know we have discussions every year about the big portion of the budget that Medicaid makes up. What we don't seem to remember is the other side of that equation about under normal circumstances outside of this pandemic, the jobs it would create, the money that it would infuse into our state because of the federal support, and the people who would frankly have access. So I don't see anything in this bill that expands access, and that's the heart of my question, that expands access to those people who fall into that hole between 19% of the federal poverty level and 100% where they can start getting subsidies through the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, you know, a lot of hard work has gone into the budget, and this is true of this appropriations bill as well. It's been discussed to some extent on the floor today. The seriousness of the pandemic that we're facing, the crisis that we're currently facing. Every day I receive emails from people who have lost their jobs or whose small businesses are struggling. And obviously with that comes a pretty hefty psychological toll. And so there are a number of items in this bill that I think provide necessary support for mental health services. But I do worry, we also hear from essential workers and people on the front lines, and it's interesting how I think how this pandemic has shaped some of our understanding of who's an essential worker and what value they provide to society. And a lot of those essential workers are underpaid,
right,
and fall in that gap where they can't afford health care and their employers don't provide it, even though they are working, and in this case working under very difficult circumstances. So I, you know, this budget bill always includes a line item that prohibits the purpose of Medicaid funding Medicaid expansion, and it looks like voters may have the opportunity to decide on that issue this fall, and I am hopeful that they'll see the value in providing health care to those workers and people who fall within that gap. So this is a difficult decision whether I'm supportive of this bill or not, because there are a lot of really important and good provisions within it. But I also, I wish that language wasn't in there, especially because we've heard from some senators about the inappropriateness of legislating through the budget.
Right. And I appreciate that, too. And I think you're right. I think that you hit the nail on the head when you talk about it's forced us to look at who some of our essential workers are. And in many, many cases, part of the reason you heard earlier about a stipend for people who are working at the Department of Corrections within our correctional facilities, those stipends are going there because they want people to continue coming to work. Some of the people who are working on the front lines in our pharmacies and our grocery stores and may be hourly employees who are just not being paid at the level that will qualify them. They may be making more than 19% of the federal poverty level, but less than 100, and might be struggling in getting their own health care. So these are real problems that...
This is a decades-long debate, Senator, and it's not lack of trying on our side and trying to change the minds and opinions of our friends on the other side, and probably same is true of them trying to convince us. But, I think it is worth calling out, and we'll see how the voters decide to weigh in on this issue, hopefully in a couple of months.
Right, come November. Well, thank you for the inquiry, Senator. I appreciate it. I thought that was an important piece to point out, and I especially like your idea, because if you look at the next section, too, definitely the, unfortunately, these sections in some of our budget bills are, in my view, and I think yours, too, budgeting through or legislating through the budget process. And so for anyone to say that we don't do that in some way is... I think it is not really reading all of what's in these bills. And so thank you, Senator, for
thank
the
you.
Inquiry. Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew County, do you yield to an inquiry from your colleague of the 24th District?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I first have to commend you because I think you did so many things with this budget bill, and this is one that I usually don't vote for. And I think you put some really good additions in here to make sure that people can access mental health services, for example.
Well, as we had a debate earlier, discussion earlier with the Senator from Barry,
exactly.
I mean, you could laud the Senator from Barry for helping us direct in that.
Right, and so whether it's suicide prevention, whether it's making sure people with developmental disabilities have what they need to to live, to do the things they need to do every day, even in a pandemic situation.
Sir, you've heard me have this argument. This kind of goes to kind of the basic function of government, what we need to do.
I think so too.
You know, and like on the some reining in some of these tax credits. This is the kind of argument that I make. You know, the need to rein, even though the great good that the tax credits do, we need to rein them in so we have some funds to be able to address these most needed people. And those funds are going to be even more needed now as we move forward with this.
Well,
and try to address the situation. So you've been good about helping move in that direction too.
As you'll see in the next piece of legislation that we talked about in House Bill 11. But I will tell you on the very back page of the bill, well, what I was talking about with the senator from the 17th, or Clay, whichever she prefers, my concern is this. I don't know how this bill addresses those people who are caught in the middle between being eligible for Medicaid, the state health care program, and being eligible for subsidies under the Federal CARE Act. So we've still got that gap, and I know that you and I have not been on the same side of this issue for a long time, and I understand your position. I understand that we don't want to blow up a budget, and yet there is another way to look at how we do this and how we build the economy by making sure that people have access to the health care we need.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I'm saying that is unless you can show me differently on the last page where it talks about none of these funds shall be used under Section 10.1010, no funds shall be expended for the purpose of Medicaid expansion as outlined under the Affordable Care Act. So that is clear in here, and there are people that are caught in that big gap who, unless they fall into special specific circumstances like a pregnant woman, for example, or they are a child who is eligible, they're not going to fall in. Where do they get the help they need when they're sick and they need to go to the hospital? And that's what concerns me. So tell me how we've addressed some of that in here, or have we?
Senator, I mean, we addressed all sorts of aid to folks and helping, you know, whether it's through our Medicaid program or such. This wouldn't have the expansion. This language has been language that we've had for some time.
Yes, I know.
So we really didn't want to get into the whole debate of changing. As you know, there's some people that would like to, you know, even tighten these things up even more. You know, I didn't want to have it, you know, I just basically status quo this year with the hurried up budget and the process that we're moving into.
And I'm not criticizing you.
I felt like it in a lot of the language that we're doing, we're really not trying to make many. And I, because of the timeline, really needed to not engage in some of that. So we tried to stay as status quo and as neutral as possible.
Right, and I know, and this has been the status quo, and this language has been in the budget for a long time now, and it's, you know, it's still concerning to me because I think we leave out a group of people who we know are living paycheck to paycheck, in many cases, are living on the edge, so need help from the federal government just to stay afloat and pay their rent and get food on their table for their families, and these same, and many of them, to educate their children, or if they're working to find care providers for their kids who were going to be in school and are now at home. So for those people who are working and still are making too much money, over 19% of the federal poverty level and less than 100, they're in this big health care gap that I think we haven't been able to address in the bill.
And we're status quo.
And we're status quo. So I want to say I thank you for the work that has been done. I think the state, in terms of making things work for the people and making the people be able to help strengthen the economy in the state, we continue to fall short. And as the senator from Clay and I talked about, this Medicaid expansion will be on the ballot come November. We'll see what happens then. But for now, even though I like many things you did in this bill, it falls short for me. And I just wanted you to know that. It doesn't mean I don't respect the work that has been done to try to increase access in different needed areas, especially in this environment. So
we do the best we can with the resources we have.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Barton.
I inquire the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just want to make sure I I have this right. I was trying to follow your discussion with the chairman, and I think I'm good, but your amendment just adds detail.
I don't have an amendment for this bill.
Pardon?
I don't have an amendment for this
bill.
Oh,
okay. You haven't filed this amendment. You
I have an amendment for the next bill.
Aren't we on 2011?
We're on 2010.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought we'd already moved on 2011.
Time.
Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'm good.
Senator from Barton, the senator from Clay County thinks you said Mr. Chairman. Clearly, there's no chairman on the dais. Is there any further discussion on the adoption of the Senate committee substitute? Hearing none, Senator from Andrew, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close. I renew my motion and close.
The senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate committee substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2010 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill, for House Bill number 2010 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator,
I renew my motion and close.
Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute, for House Committee Substitute, for House Bill 2010 be third read and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2010. An act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Department of Mental Health, the Department of Health and Senior Services, and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham,
aye.
Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins,
aye.
Huff,
aye.
Koenig, Libela, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
By your vote of 25 aye and 6 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the tiling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
President, would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? And if so, I ask that they be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 2017, entitled An Act to Appropriate Money for Capital Improvement and Other Purposes for the Several Departments and Offices of State Government and the Several Divisions and Programs thereof. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 2018, entitled An Act to Appropriate Money for the Several Departments and Offices of State Government and the Several Divisions and Programs thereof. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 2019, entitled An Act to Appropriate Money for the Several Departments and Offices of State Government and the Several Divisions and Programs thereof. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 2015, entitled An Act to Appropriate Money for Supplemental Purposes for the Expenses, Grants, and Distributions of Several Departments and Offices of State Government and the Several Divisions and Programs thereof. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1768 as amended, and request the Senate to recede from its position and, failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Respectfully submitted, Dana Rodiman Miller, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Objection, Senate, go back to the order of business, or maybe we'll stay on it. The order of business of House bills on third reading, informal calendar, and I ask that you recognize Senator from Andrew for a motion on House substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2011 with the Senate Committee substitute.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be House bills on third reading, formal calendar. The Senator from Andrew County is recognized for House substitute, House Committee substitute for House Bill 2011 with Senate Committee substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2011 with Senate Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that the Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill number 2011. I move for the adoption of that substitute. Yeah.
Thank you, Senator. Please proceed to explain the sub.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the bill that deals with the Department of Social Services. So in your notes here, you can see we got three pages, actually a fourth page of things going on in this biggest budget item that we have in the budget. Much of our aid to folks is provided through this Department of Social Services. Some issues of note. We did FRA increased the cost to continue, authority for hospital reimbursements, that was about a $500 million level, $90 million, Missouri Health Department, nursing facilities, COVID funding, direct 19. This is what we call some of the discussion we had in the supplemental budget. This is the continuation of that COVID-19 funding to help with those nursing homes that are having to deal with the increased cost of dealing with the COVID-19 virus. A few other things. You've got community services block grants here and there. That's about a $27 million line, $10 million for Family First. So a number of different items here. You can go through the list. Many of them were up to House. We took a Senate position on a few others. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions. And Mr. President, I do have another technical amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
You know, this one...
Senator, would you care for a waiver of the reading?
I do believe it's been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading. It is very short. If people don't find it, we could read it.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator, please move for the amendment's adoption, and then feel free to explain it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the amendment. This is the converse amendment to an action we did on House Bill number 2 that moved the junior senators from Clay effort to move some literacy efforts into the budget. We had originally placed it here. This is the effort to put it in the proper department and the proper place for that particular program. So this is taking that program out of this budget and we have already done the other action by putting it into House Bill number 2. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Senator from
questions appearing, I renew my motion.
Andrew County has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 1. To the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
President, I renew my motion on that amendment.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that Senate Amendment number 1 for the Senate Committee Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2001 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment number 1. We are back on the adoption motion offered by the Senator from Andrew for the Senate Committee Substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 24th District.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have an amendment. I thought it had been distributed, but that one had an error, so I have a new one, and it will not be distributed again. It's a simple error that I can point out. So I ask for it to be read. It's relatively short, and I move for its adoption.
Please send your amendment forward. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment number 2, offered by Senator Shoup. Amend Senate Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bill number 2011, page 30, section 11.385, line 36, by striking all of said line from the bill and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, care providers, comma, including reimbursements to licensed and registered child care providers for COVID-19 related health, comma, safety, comma, disinfecting, comma, and personal protective equipment expenses to prevent them from going out of business and to end quote period.
Senator, you've moved for the amendment's adoption. Would you care to further explain it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And for the benefit of the body, the amendment you have on your desk from me is right, but the senator from Dallas pointed out a typo at the bottom. Instead of the word our, it should be out. We changed it and did not distribute it, and I think people at the research table had figured that out, too. The purpose of this, so you have basically the language on your desk. The purpose of this amendment is pretty simple. And I know that, you know, I can call it a technical amendment, but what we know is from the work that I've done around child care to make sure our child care environments are safe, and from a recent town hall where people in the child care industry gathered and talked about concerns that they have, what we learned is, especially in this environment where people are showing up, children are being brought to providers' homes regularly and irregularly, but where regardless of how many children show up, those environments need to be cleaner and safer than ever before, because it's the children of our frontliners, our first line of defense against this virus, the people who are working in our healthcare industry taking care of patients, and the people who are working with the public, regardless of whether the public members are healthy or not, who come into the stores and the grocery stores and all the other places that are still open for business in order to meet our needs, even when a pandemic is going on. What we want to make sure is that when these parents drop their children off at daycare, because they need to go to work, that the providers are able to afford these kinds of disinfectants and protective equipment and the tools needed to keep that environment as safe and clean as they can, so that when they send their children home at the end of the day, nobody has contracted the virus, if we can prevent that in any way. And what we know is these providers are not rich. They don't necessarily make a lot of money, and the people who come and drop their children off don't necessarily have to pay when they don't drop their children off. And what we know is we have daycare deserts throughout the state. So what we want to make sure of is that under the existing budget that comes from the CARES Act, that we make sure that these providers are being reimbursed for this additional equipment that they have to purchase in order to keep those places safe. I haven't moved any money in the budget. I haven't done anything to change where the dollars are going. I've just looked at what the federal guidelines tell us. I've just looked at the people that I know that are providing these services and the additional lengths they need to go to keep them safe. And that's why I've asked for this additional language to be in the budget. So it's a change that, and the reason that I wanted to talk about it, so the senator from Andrew knows, instead of having him bring it up as a technical amendment, is I want you to know from somebody who has really been working with all kinds of people in the community that work in these areas. We have a long way to go to make sure our providers are taken care of, that they are able to provide the service they need for all of our kids, because we all depend upon them. And it is important in this environment that the extra mile that they have, the extra length they have to go to make sure that we have products that are safe and healthy, and that they are able to access them, purchase them, and utilize them, and not scrimp on those things that will help keep the environment clean, keep our kids safe, and hopefully keep our families from becoming ill, that they have the ability to afford those things. So that's why we've outlined this information through an amendment that, once again, doesn't move any money. It just specifies how it should go. So I am now going to pause. And the senator from Green, I think we were maybe going to have a discussion. So, Mr. President, if I could call on the senator from Green.
Let me just restate the motion, Senator. Sure. For the benefit of the body, the senator from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. She has requested an inquiry from the senator from Greene County. As long as the senator from the 14th does not break the plane. Senator from Greene, do you agree to an inquiry?
I do, Mr. President. Welcome back.
He does. Proceed. Glad to be back.
Thank you, Senator. I wanted to explain why this amendment is out there. So sure. I know that you wanted to talk with me about what else is going on in this arena.
So a couple of things here. You, as well as probably everybody else here in the body, are well aware of the dialogue that we had associated with House Bill 2014, I think, which was the supplemental bill that we passed
a few weeks ago.
And in that, Senator, you know, we put language in, and I think this is kind of a timely conversation, because we put language in that directed 25% of that first round of COVID relief money coming from the feds to go out to the locals within the first 10 days. Now, oddly enough, that happens to be right around now. Okay? So right now, our local communities, through the county commissioners or chief executive officer of each county, will be receiving funds from the state through the federal government and the CARES Act to the tune of about $520 million, okay? So a little over $500 million is now being pushed out into our local communities. And we had, Senator, a pretty robust conversation during those supplemental budget hearings about this exact child care issue. Because as you and I have discussed on a couple of occasions, you know, when you shut economies down and you ask people to stay at home for the benefit of everyone, there are consequences to those things. And sometimes, you know, the consequences are, well, if the parents of these students who are also then not going to school are at home, they're not going to daycare.
Right?
Now, as things this week begin to open back up and people begin to go back to work, we need to make sure that those child care facilities are still available and are still operating and ready to accept those children. Now, The other thing that we talked about during the supplemental budget was the institutions that had changed their model and then opened up for children that are, you know, children of first responders and doctors that are working on those front lines every day. And so I guess a couple of things here. One, I don't necessarily disagree about the formality of some of this PPE or disinfectants for these types of facilities. Senator, I'm not exactly sure that it's really necessary, because what we've done, again, with that over $500 million going out to the locals is given them the ability to then work with, I think, the folks that you're trying to target here and take care of those needs. And if you look at the language in House Bill 2011 on page 30, you know, there's a line in here on page 30, line 39, the general administration of the programs that is associated with these daycares.
I'm sorry, which line?
I'm looking at House Bill 2011.
Yep.
Oh, see, I'm looking at the Senate substitute. Are you looking at the actual bill?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nope, I already have it open. I'm sorry. Just
so anyway,
picked up
my
the wrong
my
one.
Point here is that I think, maybe actually an unintended consequence of an amendment like this is it being more restrictive, more. It's to me, it's almost unnecessary, because you're saying this has to be utilized for some of those very specific things. And honestly, I like the flexibility.
Well, it doesn't say it has to. It says including.
Right. Okay. Including reimbursements to licensed and registered child care facilities for COVID-19 related health, safety, disinfectant and personal protective equipment expenses to prevent them from going out of business. And
to support child care for families, including, so it goes on. It just says some of this money can be used then to pay for this additional equipment that these
right.
providers need to
cover. I guess my point here, and there's no, we don't have to belabor this for the body, but my point here is that there's nothing restrictive in the language currently that says that these monies cannot be used for the things that you're outlining. So if it's just a comfort factor of giving these child care facilities maybe the understanding in a more straightforward way that they can use these, I guess make an argument
that
way.
I think it's for both the providers as well as for the distributions of these funds, so that we know when the department gets receipts in for, you know, whatever cleaning product somebody uses, they understand that, yes, that was intentional. We meant to do that because we don't want people to have hundreds of dollars of cleaning products be what keeps them from staying
right.
open or moving forward.
You know, if you read the federal guidance and guidelines
right.
associated with this CARES Act money,
that's an allowable expense.
It's 100% an allowable reimbursement.
Right.
These are COVID-19 related expenses.
Right.
I can't imagine anyone would argue that they're not. So, again, in my opinion, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm not sure it's really necessary to add to the bill, but
well, and I appreciate what you're saying. And my, I just want to make sure it's crystal clear to everyone
sure.
what we can do. And you know, the supplemental budget that we passed. You know, I could ask you questions about, you know, mm-hmm. I'm delighted that money went to my county, for example, the county that I represent, part of which I represent. How that gets distributed to the daycare providers, I don't know.
Well, it the money was remitted to, again, the county commissioner, chief executive in your community, or will be either today or tomorrow. And then under the federal guidelines, they are allowed to remit payment to entities within their community that have COVID-19 related expenses.
Right. And so
every one of these facilities that we're outlining here could very easily go to the county and say, we have spent X number of dollars on these COVID-19 related expenses, and we would like to seek reimbursement from those funds that were remitted from the state.
Okay. Makes perfect sense. I want to make sure going forward, you know, businesses are starting to really open back up. Things will go forward, and I think we're all very hopeful that everybody will be safe and will continue down this path where the rates of people getting COVID or dying from it are lessened. And if that happens, that is a great result of the time that we spent staying at home, and that many people are continuing to spend staying at home. But should something change in a way we don't want it to, let's make sure that we're prepared with these dollars, because the last thing we want to do is lose those providers who are doing what we need them to do, taking care of the children of the people that are out there working hard. So, and if everything opens up tomorrow, as you said earlier, we still need those providers in place and probably more. So I think that it is not redundant. I think it is absolutely helpful to make sure that this is clarified in our statute and in our language, so that as we go forward, we know that this is a reimbursable expense for people who are providing this care. So that's why I offered the amendment.
I understand, Senator.
I'm going to end our inquiry, but if you want to inquire of me some more, feel welcome to. And so thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Senator from Andrew.
Speak on the amendment, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Listening to the discussion between the senator from the 24th and the senator from Green, you know, I fully believe that the present language addresses the concerns of the senator from the 24th. You know, I believe that we addressed it also in the supplemental budget that we had out there. I kind of actually like the broader language that we have in legislation right now. And this would also create another conferenceable item that we'd have to discuss with the House, when I think the language does very well address and even goes beyond what the senator has in here right now, or suggestion to add in. So therefore, I would encourage folks to vote against this. I think we've covered it. I think it's already there. With that, thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the adoption motion offered by the Senator of the 24th? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Mr. President, thank you. I'm just going to take a moment and say this. Again, I have been in conversation with providers and with people who work in the daycare industry. They are very concerned about making sure that people get reimbursed in the present for what they're doing today. And that going forward, they're hopeful that we'll take a good look at that industry and make sure that we help it strengthen and provide what they need to do. They've had to adjust in a big way, as all of us have, but they have the additional burden. Some of them see it as a joy of taking care of our kids that we all love, and they need to make sure that those environments in which they are watching our children are safe. They want to know that they are considered, and that they are considered in a financial way to reimburse them for these additional costs. This language does nothing to harm anyone or anything. It doesn't move a nickel in our budget. It doesn't cost a nickel more. It simply allows our providers and the people who will make these payments to know that these are legitimate costs, and that these are ways we need to take care of our kids going forward. So I am sorry to hear that the appropriations chair does not agree or welcome this amendment. I think it's disappointing when we can help our frontline workers in our communities, and these people are throughout our communities. We need to do that. So with that, Mr. President, I'm going to move for the adoption.
Senator from the 24th District has renewed her motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 for the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011 be adopted. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. You have failed to adopt Senate Amendment Number 2. We are back on the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion and close.
The senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute, as amended, for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011 be adopted. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the substitute, Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2011 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, Mr. President, my failed amendment took up so much time that I don't even think we went through this bill. So I just wanted to make sure, and I know that the senator from Andrew did, but I would like to inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry?
You bet, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I'm sorry. I didn't even give us time to ask you questions, and I feel like we were rushing to the end here. So, so thank you. I know you explained a little bit in some general terms about what's in this bill. Would you remind me, are there new decision items in here?
Well, there are. There's some new language and some new decision items. Some of this, as I talked earlier, many of the new NDIs, the new decision items throughout the budget, we weren't able to go ahead and fund. There would be some new decision items in this. These are kind of what I call the mandatory, increases to various parts of the budget. I think the $535 million cost to continue the FRE. Increased cost to continue. That would be one new item that just kind of ongoing.
You know what page we're talking about?
Well, I'm looking at I'm working off the note sheet that we handed
okay.
out. So I'm just pulling different items out of that. We can find that particular line if you'd like to, Senator.
So did you say that was a $535,000 new decision item?
That would be It's $535
million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we might
And that's kind of what we see. You know, the $90 million for nursing homes dealing with the COVID-19 that we had in the supplemental, that is again shows up here in the...
All right. So an additional $90 million so that our nursing homes can do what they need.
Yes.
Again,
yeah. We had that in the supplemental, whether they're not able to spend in the last 3 months of the 20-year budget. We would want to roll in here and give that authority. That's really kind of authority. Of course, not all $90 million because they will have used some of those funds would be available. But that's in essence what we would be doing.
May I ask you a question about that? I know that
and we kept the same language that we had in the supplemental, continuing on if they had the COVID-19 in their facilities and such like that.
All right. Does I know that we gave a stipend to workers in our Department of Corrections? Did we do the same to our workers? Well, that's a state facility, but...
Yeah, the state facilities compared to the private sector facilities. I will tell you, as we looked at this and tried to address it, and it was presented to us as going to workers to keep them coming in and the PPE and such like that. I think there has been a request, and I think they do this in their cost studies. They'll need to show where those funds have been utilized and where they're going. So I think as we progress, I think that information should be available to us.
So that's one of the areas that these additional funds for nursing homes can be used is to increase pay for employees during the COVID pandemic?
That's the way it was seemed to be presented when we went through the supplemental budget. Yeah, it was more than that. It was the address the additional costs associated with the measures that they have to do for COVID-19. An example was given how they couldn't do the congregate meals anymore. They had to take meals to the room, so that increased staff time, that increased preparation time, and then that, like, even the purchase of trays or maybe even individual disposable containers to take it. So that's one example, I think, that they had. Certainly a lot of additional sanitation. These would be requirements that were coming down from the Department of Senior Services that engage on them. I think they call it audits, where they get inspected every now and again.
Right.
But this kind of goes along with that. These are additional requirements that were promoted promulgated, you might say, to deal with the COVID-19 so that they could continue functioning and try to address keep the contamination.
Right.
Down.
So the $90 million, is that right?
That was $90 million of CARES. Let's see. Yeah, it was. It was CARES dollars.
All right. So the $90 million that we chose that amount out of the CARES budget. We took $90 million and said this is the amount that we will put into our nursing homes for the kinds of things you talked about, which could include packaging for meals to be brought to people's room, additional staffing in the kitchen, or additional staffing to deliver those things.
Those were examples that were given.
Right. Understood.
I don't know if we actually got detailed and put that in the language. It was just.
But it
the examples, just like on daycares, these would be examples of costs that would be needed to be covered to keep a daycare in operation.
Right.
Broad general, let's give a lot of latitude to allow them to have those kind of costs covered.
All right. And it doesn't preclude a bump or a stipend for salaries during this time? It doesn't preclude that?
It doesn't specifically preclude that. I think it's just not addressed.
You think it's just what?
No, wait a second. Let me touch base with the subject matter expert that we have, able staff. Senator, it was pointed out to me, it adds a per patient per day increase to the facilities that had COVID. There's not any, so they could use it, to help pay a stipend to workers. It didn't have any strings. Well, just the normal strings that we have attached to it. But it was presented that would be one way that they would have increased costs of COVID-19 is to keep employees and would need to provide a stipend to get the employees to come in.
And that's just for the facilities that have the COVID virus?
That is just for the facilities that have COVID virus.
Okay. Let me ask you about... Go ahead.
Yeah. All the facilities get a bump. This would be an additional bump for those facilities that have COVID-19 in them.
Right, because they are really dealing with...
And this is all tied to the state of emergency, that's out there. So as long as it lasts, if they have COVID-19 in the facilities, they would get this bump. Once we're out of the state of emergency, once this crisis has passed, that increase would not be there any longer.
Okay. Understood.
It is targeted and intended to address the immediate concerns of those facilities.
Tell me about, just briefly go through, I know that SNAP and TANF and those social safety net programs are in here. Have we increased the amount for SNAP, which is food stamps? What have we done in that area? Because we know a lot of people are.
Yeah, I know. We did, I was thinking that we did increase that some, but let me see if I can find that. Yeah, so we did get some federal grants to do that, and we're trying to find out the dollar amount that kind of attached to those programs to increase assistance. I know that some of the money for SNAP came through, or is going through the food banks. I do remember that as part of it. Let me see if I can identify that real quick, where that particular aspect may be. There was enhancements there. Let me see. But that's one of example of where we did recognize that we're going to have some increased
activity at
participation.
Right, absolutely. And TANF, as I'm going through this, I saw money taken from TANF, and so I wondered if we could talk about that. I'm on page. I think I have yours. No. Get yours. Oh, you know what?
Senator, I do have an answer. I got a number for you on the COVID-19. There's $6 million in there for food distribution out of the COVID, the CARES Act funds.
Okay, and...
And an additional $2.1 million for food banks.
Okay, and...
$8.1 million, you know.
Okay,
you know,
and...
Eight-ish million.
Right, and so this is to last, this is next year's budget.
Uh-huh.
And our expectation is that it will take us through all of next year, but we will have an opportunity
during
the summer.
Well, you know, that is, Senator, that gets us hold to the whole discussion. I've been very free about this and very open about this. You know, this is using the information that we have available to us right now.
Right.
We're doing our best. We don't know. That's why I fully anticipate in this situation that we may easily be called back in to do some supplemental budgeting. Should more dollars come down, if we need to redirect dollars, I wouldn't preclude the fact that, you know, as we hurried up and tried to put this budget together on a, you know, and like I say, vastly different from what we were in January.
Absolutely.
We are doing the best we can with the information we have today.
Right.
Anticipating some dollars that we feel pretty good are coming in, and then also anticipating dollars that
we don't think will,
that really just authority that we may get in, so that we wouldn't have to be brought into a special session to do a supplemental budget on that. Give us the authority, actually trusting the governor somewhat there, to put those dollars out and use them where we need to.
Right.
To be able to use
it. No, this is probably the most challenging budget year in terms of trying to figure out where we're going forward. No question.
Yeah.
I think that I saw, and I was looking at it. Okay.
Well, there's a lot there, Senator. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like I said,
right.
there's
which is why
three,
I wanted to kind of walk through some of it.
Almost three full pages and beginning of a fourth page of just notes, of just the notes to look at. So there's
right.
a lot.
Right. Understood. So I'm on page 12, and I don't know if that helps you or not, but...
Now, are you on page 12 of the budget bill itself?
Yes, page 12 of budget bill 11,
okay.
Of your version, because I have two on my desk, which I... I see, and I'm just seeing that there is money being taken from temporary assistance for needy families and put into attendance of low-income adults at high schools, summer jobs program, jobs for America's graduates. These are important causes. I want to know, if I can, what the thinking was of why we would take it out of temporary assistance for needy families.
I'm looking at page 12. Which line are you?
So down
looking?
At the bottom, from lines 11 down through, well, even from lines 8 on down.
You know, this kind of goes to back to the some of the redirection efforts to try to use some of these TANF dollars to enhance those participants in it to increase them. So you'll see that. You know, that's through it. So we've basically targeted some of the efforts with some of these TANF dollars, for this program and that program. You know, so you'll see these are somewhat, I guess you might say, targeted efforts, in that. So the Jobs for America, that's one of those programs out there that's kind of a targeted effort to utilize and help that population. By some of the changes that we've done in the past, it allowed for us to use these dollars otherwise to basically work towards keeping people off the TANF
off
rolls.
And
to move them away from, give them some opportunity, some hope, we might say.
Right, absolutely.
Even.
I will
again, laud the senator from Barrie. He was very instrumental in putting together many of these efforts and helping direct the state along these lines, a visionary that really helped direct our efforts there.
The temporary assistance money is a block grant, and we can choose to utilize pieces. And these are some of the ways that, through the budget process, it has been decided that we would help people.
Yeah.
Yes. In attending the adult high schools. So we want them to graduate and get a degree, because we know that increases
their
opportunities.
And then they may not have the need for the program.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then summer jobs program. So now, are these families that would receive this, are these families that would qualify for temporary assistance, or is this just open now since we have a whole new slew of people that might not be
working? Yeah, you know, I tend to think that they are people that would qualify for temporary assistance, but it may be broader than that, Senator. I guess offhand, I don't know that answer for you. I could see if we could get that answer right away. I cannot profess to be a TANF expert. I am sorry, Senator.
No, that's quite all right. That would be, I think it would be just helpful to know what the intention was. And I'm seeing a whole lot of money coming from the temporary assistance block grant, food bank for food banks. And again, these are all worthy programs. Foster care jobs program, school-based early warning and response system to improve student attendance. I just want to make sure that as we divide among these programs, we haven't lost sight of the fact that there are some families that need temporary assistance in the form of making their payments for the bills that they have while they are temporarily either not working or looking for work or one of the other items needed to qualify them. So, yes, I know you just got to
what you're saying here, Senator, the House, in an effort to get more transparency of where these dollars are going, they did break a lot of these out to these different programs. So that's where you, whereas in the past we may have had more just kind of a lump sum TANF programs allocation, I think the House, in our, and we went along with it, you know, for the transparency's sake, to try to see where many of these programs. So there's no new, it's not taking money away from TANF, it's just kind of breaking it out and allocating it to these different programs so we could, you know, see better where the money's being spent.
All right, well, here's an area that gives me a bit of pause.
And okay, it is, and where would that be?
Section 11.155 for the Family Support Division of the Department of Social Services. Or alternatives to abortion services. So let me just look at it. I mean, providing diapers to and infant hygiene products to women who qualify, who have babies, I think that's a great thing. I feel like the way we do it in here is, I don't know what it takes for a woman to qualify for alternatives to abortion services other than giving birth to a child. I would hope it is not more more restrictive than that. But again,
consider this is language we've had in the budget for some time.
Coming from temporary assistance, 2 million coming from the general revenue fund. You know, I just I'm not sure why we're calling out certain kinds of services, alternatives to abortion, as opposed to the places that provide services like Nurses for Newborns, for example. What we're really trying to do is get at people with babies who are very low income, who are poor, and we want to make sure they have what they need for their children. And so when we label it this way, I find it very partisan, perhaps, or at least you know, designed to.
And again, this is the line item that's been in there. We didn't change any of the language.
Yeah.
We status quo again. It's been there.
And
the House recommended, the governor recommended. We went along with it.
And how much money was in there in this area, in this section before?
I think it's about the same amount. I don't think we added to this, and we didn't take anything away from it. So it is status quo funding as well. It's the same thing. Now, there was some effort to look at it. There was some, I think, you know, one senator contemplated adding money to it, but that didn't happen. So, you know, this is status quo, basically fiscal year 20 budget funding.
The 4.3 from temporary assistance, the 4.3?
We didn't change any of that.
Okay.
That's all been there in the past.
All right.
I don't want to say for a couple of years, at least, that I recall.
Okay. I'm looking through some more areas as we go through, because there is just still a long way to go in this budget. Let's go to okay, another food distribution. So this is, we have a lot of areas that cover, this is a food distribution program. I am in section 11.185. That's just the distribution of food as opposed to, I don't think it is. I think it's more than that. I think it's actually food itself and a way to distribute it and disperse it. But so we have an additional $9.7 million in that. Do you see where I am? I'm sort of skipping.
I do see where you're at, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was going to look to see if I've gotten in my notes here, if I've got some additional description of that.
Okay.
So I'm now trying to work through my markup sheets, which provides additional description of those different programs. Give me a second. I'll catch up with you there, Senator.
Sure.
Got a backup, Senator. I looked in the wrong. I passed over it.
69.
Okay. 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 So this is Family Support Division distribution of food. Cost to continue, so this will be a continuation of it.
Okay.
We have the core expenses, which we didn't change. It's been at $1.5 million for some time. Federal funds, these are all federal funds. Cost to continue. Department requested, the governor recommended, the House recommended. We went with the House recommendation, and that was a $2.175 million. And this would be, the TFAP. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of the TFAP program.
I think I'm in a different place than you.
A temporary emergency food assistance program grant. And again, a lot of food banks utilize this. TFAP
section,
money
what
and
section,
program.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. What section are you on? I think I'm looking at a different place. So
I'm actually looking at our budget notes, so that's where I'm getting this information. So it's okay. Not, it wouldn't be in this. So you're looking at section
11.158. It's a good amount of money, $9.7 million. 11.185.
Yeah, I'm giving you more of a breakdown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right. Got
yeah.
it. That's great.
I thought
you.
That's what you were wanting. And then there's a program, and then there's a program specific dollars in there. And that would be the COVID-19 dollars for food banks.
All right,
that amount is $6 million, $6,026,000.
Okay.
So
got
you
it.
Put all that together, and that's where you get to the $9 million.
Okay.
So what I was giving you earlier was the components of the $3.6 million. The
right.
$6 million is the COVID funding, COVID-19 CARES Act funding.
And this is these are dollars that will result in foods being distributed to the different food pantries or places where people go to get the foods that they need. Yes.
Food banks, yeah.
Yes,
I mean, it's targeted to food banks. People go there to get food, but also they distribute food out to the pantries.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Some food banks are one and the same. They have a food bank capacity, and they also have the pantry aspect. Other food banks simply is kind of a warehouse, and then they distribute the food out to the various pantries. That's kind of what we have up in Northwest Missouri with
right.
the food bank that I've been involved
yes,
with.
Yes, we have some of those in our area too. If we could go to the area around victims of crime. So we have stuff for
local funds. Yeah, okay.
Victims of crime, we have domestic violence and sexual assault and abuse. So
uh-huh.
through the Family Support Division, we have, or the Department of Social Services, I guess they both have dollars in these areas. Anything new or significantly different than what we had before? Because I think that what we've learned is, or at least, you know, what I hear is that things have changed during this environment when people are stuck at home together, and sometimes those things
And we did some adjustments to that program. You know, there was we made some adjustments last year. Some of those went over well. Some of them didn't. We got to hear about a lot of that. And so in the budget this year, we also made some adjustment to that. Let me real quick, Abby, if you want the detail. And I'm not tracking you there now. What page are you on now, Senator?
Well, so I'm looking around page 18.
Oh, you backed up on me.
I did.
Okay. Okay. And your question is what kind of changes we made there?
If we increased our dollars going into this area during this environment that we're in.
We
have some federal funds moved in here. Yes.
I'm hearkening back to last year. You know, that used to be housed in a different program. I think it used to be housed in public safety. We really felt like the dollars weren't getting out. They were kind of piling up and they weren't getting out being used. So we made the transfer last year into the Department of Social Services, and that transition, let's just say, is a little bumpy in the way to address that. So in the aspect of getting more dollars out, I think we've been successful in doing that. In the process of doing it, we probably could have done better. You know, let's face it. When you got new people doing a new program, it takes a little time to get up and work the kinks out. I don't begrudge them that, but I don't know if you had heard about any. Certainly, many of us had heard through, last summer, about some difficulties associated with that program and trying to get it. So we've been working with the department trying to move that forward, make it more transparent in their process of doing that, and to try to get more dollars out. So from that standpoint, just a mechanic standpoint, this is just last year. This would have been without any, CARES Act money coming in. I think we are doing a better job of getting dollars out.
All right. Yep. Great. But I also saw that we put some CARES Act money in to this area, too, or we're just utilizing the money more efficiently or better or getting it out better.
We did add some CARES money to the domestic violence category.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that actually flowed through the VOCA funds, but domestic violence is where we added that.
Okay. Great. I think that's an additional consideration.
I don't disagree.
So many pieces that have needed to be adjusted and looked at based on what's going on, frankly, worldwide right now. So, okay, I'm going to move forward pretty quickly to the Department of Social Services, the Children's Division, and, we talked about that a little bit. So I think maybe you put in more money for, it looks like maybe parents as teachers programs and ways to, I don't know when these things will be able to start happening and ramping back up again. We don't even know if kids will be going to summer school yet this summer. So, I guess we're trying to figure that out. We also have money in there, which may have been in there before, for home visits during early pregnancy.
I think that was a change we did last year to try to put more emphasis to that. At least I think we enhanced it last year.
I think that's
so that would have been in the regular budget before, all the COVID-19 came down, these home visits.
Right, and I think that's helpful, including, I know we put into place a program through the Department of Health and Senior Services that was brought to us through Iowa called Count the Kicks. And it didn't need funding through here. It was was inexpensive enough that the department could handle it themselves. But looking out for women who are carrying those babies to term and making sure that they're healthy throughout that process and that the baby is healthy too.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so Children's Division, placement costs, including foster care payments. Again, I'm just picking out some things where these topics pop out at me. So, there is in section 11.335.
Children's Division still.
Costs associated with attending post-secondary education, including but not limited to tuition, books, fees, room and board for current or former foster youth. So in a sense, sort of a scholarship program for foster kids so that they could go on to college. And I guess, I don't know if that applies to trade schools, but post-secondary education. And that looks like that's just an ongoing program.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to see if I can get to my notes that might have further detail on that. I'm actually in a different... And maybe I can find some greater detail on that particular program, Senator.
Well, we've basically got sections on it. Let me just broaden it. On adoption and fostering of kids, and then making sure those foster kids are have somewhere to go when they're no longer necessarily eligible for foster care, that they have an opportunity to have access to scholarships and to get their bills paid so that they can continue their education even outside of being fostered. And so we have, I don't know if there are new monies anywhere in this section or if this is just a continuation.
It's a continuation. There's no,
continuation
there's no new
of our
monies
programs
there.
Going forward.
That would just be a continuation of the program. No less money, but no additional
No less
dollars,
money, but no more. And then the next section
And that
is,
looks like it's been that at that level of funding since our notes go back to fiscal year 2019. So it's been at that same level.
All right. And then comes the section that I had tried to amend earlier.
And fairly well utilized, the program seems to be.
Pardon me? So $66 million there. From the federal government, from the federal stimulus money, to make sure that child care services providers get financial assistance. And I think that's a really important section, and I hope it is well utilized because we've heard loudly and clearly from those providers that they need some help to stay in business and to do it in a way that is safe and healthy for our kids and their families. I'm like only halfway through this bill. So, Senator, let me ask you this, because I know people are like ready to move on already. What other areas beyond, I'm now at section 11.605. Can you point out to us what significant changes there are specifically going forward? So more stimulus money coming in for a specific area or changes that either increase the budget or what the budget is doing from before or decreased. So can you give us a broader outline? And then I promise I'll let you sit down.
Well, I can attempt to do that, Senator. Yeah. Look, some areas that we did some enhancements even more. In the pharmacy line, I can't say this word, but maybe the Senator from Barry can. It's a pharmacy drug, triple combo therapy. That deals with cystic fibrosis, and it's called Trikafta.
Do you know what section you're in? Or
it's in the pharmacy section, and you want to look at it. You're looking at the budget.
Oh, I'm in
bill,
the pharmacy section. Okay.
So that's an increase, a new drug that's come on that we're looking to do. I thought there was another drug that we were looking at. Maybe we did that last year. We did one in the supplemental budget. Belgimzma or something like that. I think that was a cystic fibrosis drug as well. Yeah. So we're... Evidently making some great gains in cystic fibrosis to help people. But they come at a cost. You know, they can be expensive.
What is this section? I'm sorry. I didn't know about this before. But this is a authorization. It's on page 39, section 11.715, line 24. For a pilot program, let me read to you what it says. For a pilot program that focuses on providing clinical and case management support for pregnant women who are opioid addicted or display key risk factors which indicate a likelihood for addiction, the primary objective of such program shall be avoiding births requiring extraordinary care due to neonatal abstinence syndrome. The secondary objective is the treatment of the mother for substance abuse.
Yeah, it's an effort to try to prevent opioid-addicted babies, you know, and I think that, I don't believe that's a new program. I think that is probably a continuation as well. What line? What page in that note? And I'll look to see if I can find some more detailed information on that. We're trying to get the, the markup sheets number on that. And, but that's kind of what it, an effort to deal with you know, the opioid crisis and mothers who may be addicted to opioids and try to.
So it's once they are pregnant, there is, it is to try to help them, whatever they have to do to keep that baby from also being born addicted.
Right. And I would assume that this neonatal abstinence syndrome is somehow associated. A problem associated with
right, if a baby is
mothers who are addicted to
right.
opioids and
okay.
that the baby's
so, but it, it
but I think that I don't believe that's new. I believe that's a continuation of a program.
Okay.
We ought to quit calling them pilot programs at some point.
I agree. It's a little bit confusing. Okay, I had asked you, and I keep stopping you because I see things that jump out at me, but the... So in an overarching way, from here till the end of the bill, I was asking about new expenditures of federal dollars or significant differentiation from what we had last year's budget or this current year's budget and what we're putting in or taking out of next year's budget.
You know, we did have some additional energy assistance added in there.
Great.
I think that typically goes through our LIHEAP program.
Right.
And so there was some COVID-19 dollars for that.
Low-income is LIHEAP, right? So it's going to go to low-income homes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's another area. Looks like there's a $9.5 million for emergency sluices program. It's an increase on federal dollars. We've talked about the food distribution already. Another food distribution line, there is... We talked about the domestic violence. We had, federal dollars. That was $528,000 to that. Some family resource centers. There's some dollars for that. Some FQHC, efforts there.
When you say family resource centers, is that?
Yeah, and that's in Children's Support Division.
That's not the crisis pregnancy resource centers.
No, I don't think so. No, it deals more with disadvantaged youth.
Okay.
Yeah. It is not a a pregnancy resource center.
Okay.
Let's see. You know, we did some for the youth treatment program, some additional. No, that's actually taken away. Wanting to know what we added. Back up here. You know the big section is the in Children's Division, the $72 million of COVID CARES money for purchases, child care, and child care stimulus sections. Due to the increase due to CDBGs and the coronavirus, the CARES Act program. So that's one of the bigger COVID-19s, other than let's say the $90 million for nursing homes.
That go to providers or to the parents of the children to pay to their providers.
I think it goes to the providers. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I say that probably through the parents. I mean.
No. I'm not just watching you.
It's based upon parent income.
Right. So it's means tested, but it goes to the providers to pay for the to give a bump in the costs that they receive. Great. That's really important, I think, right now, especially. Okay.
And that's with specifically the COVID-19 stuff. That's pretty much where I see where most of the increases occurred. Now here's the $907,000 Children's Support Division for Child Abuse Prevention Demos, Child Welfare Services. That's a COVID-19 related expense. That's $907,000 for that. Electronic benefit transfers increase of $901,000.
So those are the EBT cards people use to go to the grocery store to make purchases.
Yeah, I think we would anticipate, kind of what you were getting at earlier,
right.
We'd anticipate more usage of that.
Right, so not everybody's going to go to a food pantry.
This is to address that.
Right, okay. And you probably
And for the most part,
know.
I think we pretty well hit most of the COVID-19 dollars.
All right, I think that's very helpful. Did we spend all of the dollars that are allotted us to? Did we put all of them into the budget? Did we hold back anything?
We put them all in the budget. We allocated some of them to different programs. Some of them you were just kind of left in areas yet to be discerned. You know, giving some flexibility to the governor and departments to move them around where they might need to be utilized. We did that in some of the, I want to say back in OA, I think we provided some room to allow them to move.
Some flexibility.
Dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might flexibility to move dollars, let's say, from SEMA, but they need to get it into child care and they need to get it through, social services. That provision that we put in, that mechanism we put in, would allow them to shift those dollars around. So, yeah, for the most part, we need to have the authority to be able to
right.
do that. We allocated much of it. Some of it we did not allocate.
All right. And so this budget and all of these budgets reflect that authority that if it's needed.
Yeah, you'll see that. And if you remember in the supplemental budget, we called it the belt and suspenders approach. We put authority in the state level. If the dollars would come in, and then we also maybe matched it with some, we maybe put it in two different places because we didn't know where we were going to utilize those dollars.
Right.
We've done a bit of that here, like provisions that the junior senator from Clay requested back in economic development, the PPP program. I don't want to really say doubling up, but it would be additional authority to be able to use it in that program. If we don't use it on the direct cost of COVID-19, then we would use it on the direct cost of businesses, small businesses, per her directions, in an effort to do that. And the governor was a governor's amendment that came down to do that.
Right.
So,
all right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Senator. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the third read motion offered by the senator from Andrew County. Hearing none, Senator from Andrew, you are recognized to close.
Sorry for that noise. Mr. President, I renew my motion and close.
The senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2011, an act to appropriate money for the expenses, grants, and distributions of the Department of Social Services and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins.
Aye.
Huff.
Aye.
Koenig.
Aye.
Leibler.
Aye.
Lucht-Meyer. May. Nasheed.
Aye.
O'Loughlin.
No.
Onder.
Aye.
Riddle.
Aye.
Rizzo.
Aye.
Rowden.
Aye.
Sater.
Aye.
Schatz.
Aye.
Shoup.
Aye.
Sifton.
Aye.
Wallingford.
Aye.
Walsh.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Whelan.
No.
Williams.
Senator from Phelps, votes aye. Senator from 14th, votes aye. Senator from Barton, would you repeat your vote? Votes no. By your vote of 25 aye and 6 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on that same calendar, I'd ask you to recognize Senator from Andrew for a motion on House Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2012 with a Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2012 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The aye appears to have it. The aye doesn't have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2012. This is the one that deals with the elected officials, the judiciary, public defender's office, and the General Assembly. Look here, some changes. There is $1 million in there for the Harry S. Truman Presidential Library. Some increased funding for the Humanities Council out of the CARES Act. Dollars in for Secretary of State, some publishing of the ballot language. Let's see. And just a number of other things. You can see them in your books, or you can see them in your notes. I'd be happy to answer any questions. If no questions appearing, Mr. President, I would renew my motion.
The senator from Andrew County has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for the House Substitute for the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2012. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 5th District.
And prior, the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield?
It'd be my pleasure, Mr. President.
It is his pleasure. Please proceed.
Senator, you're just about done here, huh?
About done, Senator.
One more budget bill after this.
Evening,
right?
To you, too. Yeah.
You know, as a ranking member on the minority side, I just want to let you know that you have done a fantastic job. And I know that it hasn't really been easy for you because, you know, sometimes you have to give and take and say yes or say no. But you have been a man of great character along the way. And this is my last time serving with you on budget. I just want the body to know how much I appreciate your character. And I like the fact that you have a Bible. The only man with a Bible on his desk says a lot about you.
There's a lot of God-fearing people in this body. And,
but I just wanted to say you have done a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you.
And it was great working with you throughout the years on budget.
Senator, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion on the adoption motion offered by the senator from Andrew County. Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 2012 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the substitute. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 2012 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I renew my motion and close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 2012 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 2012, an act to appropriate money for expenses, grants, refunds, and distributions of the Chief Executive's Office and Manchin, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, State Auditor, State Treasurer, Attorney General, Missouri Prosecuting Attorneys, and Circuit Attorneys Retirement Systems, and the Judiciary and the Office of State Public Defender and the several divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams,
Senator for the 24th votes no. By a vote of 27 aye and 4 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. One final time, I ask that you recognize the Senator from Andrew for a motion on House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2013 with a Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator from Andrew County, you are recognized one final time.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 2013 with committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, your bill is now before the body.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2013.
It's getting a little loud in the chamber. The ladies at the dais and some of the fellow senators cannot hear each other. Please take your conversations to the side galleries. I know it's been a long day and will be done potentially soon. The senator from Andrew County has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2013. Senator, would you care to explain your substitute?
I would be happy to do that, Mr. President. And, Mr. President, I am so happy that it wasn't me this time that was being too noisy. So this House Bill number 2013 deals with real estate. It deals with the leases, utilities, systems. It's really kind of a maintenance type of bill. Not a lot to really hold up and show the differences on. But I'd be happy to take any questions on the real estate bill if anybody has any.
The senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute to House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2013. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I renew my motion and close.
Senator from Andrew County renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2013 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2013 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Andrew County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion and I close.
The senator from Andrew renews his motion that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2013 be read for a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 2013, an act to appropriate money for real property leases, related services, utilities, systems, furniture, structural modifications, and related expenses for the several departments of state government and the divisions and programs thereof. Senators Arthur, Bernsketter, Brown, Burleson, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Luchtmeyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from Butler, votes aye.
Did you say aye? I did. Okay.
Yeah, I heard him.
All right.
Just make sure we don't have anything else.
No white.
The message is no white.
That's the only, you missed white. I mean, he's not in here, is he?
Only two no's, right?
two nuns.
Margaritas for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, hey, man.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the count.
Yeah, I know.
Senator from Barton. Madam Secretary, would you call the absentees?
Senators White.
By a vote of 29 aye and 2 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Boone County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, this will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business is announcements. Announcements? Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Mr. President, I have an announcement because tomorrow is the day we all look forward to when we get to wear our seersucker suits. And there's only 2 days that we can do that. So don't miss out on the jovial fun we'll be having.
Senator, I'm glad you made that announcement because your vice chairman has been lackadaisical in that awareness. Further announcements. Senator from the 24th.
President, I am usually not the one who does this, and maybe it's done at a different time, but I wanted to just say thank you to the budget chair, even though I don't agree with everything that was done. I know he and his staff and the research staff all worked their tails off to put together a budget that we could get done by the constitutional deadline of May 8th, and I think that those of you who served on budget with him, I think he is remained even tempered through all of this today, and I just want to thank him and all the people who supported him in order to get a budget done here in the chamber today.
Let's give the budget chairman and the budget committee a round of applause. Thank you, Senator. Of course, we know the staff does all the hard work for the senator from Andrew. Further announcements, Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand adjourned under the rules.